Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Hello, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon. Hey.
Hold on. I need to find your mic.
Oh,
there
hi.
There you are.
Hi there. Good afternoon, Hank. Hey, so today you can add to my list of items. I am the crazy cat lady.
You have a very cute little kitty there in your lap.
It's Lewis, of Lewis and Clark fame.
Okay, so is it L-E-W-I-S or L-O-U-I-S?
No, it's not of a San Luis Obispo Lewis. It is Lewis of Lewis and Clark, L-E-W-I-S.
That makes me very sad.
I'm sorry, because Lewis is your middle name.
Correct, L-O-U-I-S.
Well, but you are still kindred spirits in some way, because Lewis is beautiful just like you.
Thank you.
So, we are the new proud family adoptees, or we have adopted Lewis from the pound, and my daughter Kelly is with me today. She is the Lewis handler. And so I don't know if we'll make it a thing of taking Lewis with us everywhere we go, but that wasn't really my intention. But he's only 3 months old, and he's so new. And the person who was fostering him at the pound said, well, we took him camping on a couple trips and took him in the car in different places. So he really likes to go, hence Lewis and Clark. He's a traveler. And so we're kind of testing him out, see how he does. And he's quite comfortable. Right now he's sleeping in my arms, so it's hard to concentrate. But I have a lot to talk about today, as always. But I'm really excited about today's subject. I'm excited to have my daughter Kelly here. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
And I'm excited to talk about Disney's latest movie, Inside Out. So I hope that you got a chance to go see it. And if you haven't, spoiler alert, because we will be talking about the movie. So when I start talking about the plot a bit, you can turn down your radio if you'd like for a couple moments to save it. Or just hear the plot of the movie and go see it anyway, because I think it is brilliant. I think, of course, I'm a therapist, right? So anything that has to do with focusing on the mental health and well-being of our culture makes me very happy. And this is a film that really touches on the heart of our mental health and well-being. And so I couldn't be more excited to talk about it today. But before we jump into that conversation, it kind of leads into today's topic itself. But last week we talked about body image. And I really appreciate everybody who called in and shared their thoughts, and especially some of the emails that I received after the show. And a couple of conversations that I had with listeners as a follow-up. And one of the moms that I talked to said, you know, I've made a concerted effort to not talk about things that I don't like about myself in front of my young, my preteens, because I was noticing that they were taking it all in every time I'd complain about clothes not fitting or needing to eat less. And so I've stopped talking about that so I'm not always bringing it up. And I said, you know, that's a great first step, to not point out our flaws constantly in front of our children, because we want to model self-love and appreciation for our bodies. But we really, to do the best modeling for our kids, should go a step further and should be pointing out and appreciating those things about ourselves that we do like. To say, you know, gosh, I love the way this dress fits, or it's so great when you find a piece of clothing that's just right. To let our kids know that clothing doesn't make us, right? Every piece of clothing is cut differently, shaped differently, colors are different. We look different in every piece of clothing. And so when you find something that fits well, it's kind of a joy. It has nothing to do with your body. It just has to do with that style of clothing. So it's really important for our children to not only avoid topics that might help them, you know, make them feel worse about themselves, but also to model how to have a healthy conversation or a healthy relationship with ourselves. Say something about how much you appreciate your legs for being strong so you can work out every day. Say something about, you know, how great it is that your arms are strong enough to lift the groceries so that you can feed the family. I don't care what it is, but take the time to model and talk about those things that you love and appreciate about yourself in front of your children, so they'll know it's okay to love and appreciate themselves and to always notice the ways that they're strong and healthy and doing well, instead of focusing on the ways that they aren't doing things well. And that leads beautifully into today's show. And this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Thank you again for tuning in. And if you'd like to find out more about the program, you can find information on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. And we've started tweeting, thanks to my summer intern, Ashlyn Hatch, who's got us all set up and tweeting. Well, I'm trying to. I'm not very regular. But if you'd like to follow us, we are at EBTRT, at EBTRT, which is Elizabeth Barrett, the Reluctant Therapist. So we'd love to see you on Twitter with us. And you can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org under the News and Talk tab. We try to keep current with all the latest shows, and we love... Oh, also, Ashlyn Hatch and I are trying to work on podcasting, too. So it's a technologically interesting summer for me, learning all sorts of new skills, but hopefully it'll give you a lot of opportunities to stay in touch and be a part of the conversation. And as always, you can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com if you'd like to communicate in that way. So the movie Inside Out, have you seen it? It's quite something. Pixar film, animated, if you haven't seen all the millions of trailers or information about it. But I want to assign it to everyone because I think if you're a parent, if you're an adult, if you're a preteen, I don't know what the younger children, 4, 5, or 6, might have get out of it, but there's a lot of colors and Disney action, and so maybe they enjoy the story, and maybe I'm underestimating what a 4, 5, and 6, or 7-year-old might get out of the movie. Maybe you've talked to your children, you can let me know. But definitely the preteens, teens, adults, if you're a teacher, if you're a therapist, if you're a grandparent, this is a great movie because the story is almost like a wonderful animated version of how our emotions, moods, and feelings operate. It could be a training video for new therapists who need a visual on how we take in experiences and process them. And it's a great little snapshot into the mind of 11-year-old girls as they're transitioning. So from a parental standpoint... And let me tell you briefly. So here's the spoiler alert if you don't want to hear the plot of the movie. And Kelly, jump in if I miss something. But for me, the plot of the movie was what happens to a young girl, 11 years old, when her family moves from Minnesota to San Francisco. And we see it from the perspective of a group of 5 emotions that are personified by characters who kind of run her emotional landscape. And those 5 emotions are portrayed are joy, anger, sadness, despair, and disgust. And so the emotional control center is kind of where the action of the movie takes place. And what we see is how, as the young girl transitions through this experience, I mean, it's a traumatic experience to be uprooted from your friends and your home and your activities to a whole new place when you're 11. And so you see her control tower, her emotional control tower, kind of start to try to navigate these new experiences that she's having, kind of the experiences of loss and grief, and how... As a young girl, most of, the control of her emotions was led by joy and happiness. But then you start to see the other emotions needing to be processed, like anger and sadness. So that's kind of the basic outline. And so we see how these 5 emotions grapple with these changes in this young girl's life over the period of a few days. And I cried from a parental standpoint, because it's a lot of the movie is about loss, childhood loss. And I've always had this feeling that one of the most difficult parts of parenting is raising your child, wanting to protect them and have beautiful experiences and feed them well and show them interesting things and expose them to the world. And then you kind of watch the process of the bubble of their childhood pop as they go into preteens and teens and adolescence. You see kind of the magic of childhood go away. And you can see that quite well in the movie. It's portrayed really well, where you see a lot of the childhood beauty be shattered. And so I cried from that perspective. What about you, Kelly? What do you think was the main takeaway from your perspective as a later teen?
I just liked, I guess, looking back on, as I was watching the movie, I thought the most significant part was there's five kind of main pinnacles or islands that the main character had as a young child, and then as she grew up, they all had to collapse and fall down, and it was the worst thing ever, but then they were all replaced by better, more diverse pinnacles and islands, and I thought that was significant because, I mean, I'm not a young child going into adolescence, but I am going into adulthood, and I am feeling, as I enter and move through college, these new islands, I guess, emerging, and things that I'm passionate about and things that control my emotions. So I thought that was interesting.
So did you see Inside Out? We're going to talk about that today. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, joined in the studio by my daughter, Kelly. And you can be part of the conversation, 805-781-3875. 805-781-3875. What was your takeaway from this film? And what do you think about the world of emotions and your emotions and feelings and moods? You know, they are the core of our mental health and well-being. And I think we don't talk about them often. And when we do talk about them, we try to, it seems like we're limited to very few of the emotions. And the main emotion we associate with mental health is happiness. We seem to focus on happiness always as the primary emotion and feeling that we should be focused on all the time. And that all of the other emotions would be considered disruptive or painful or unhealthy. But the truth is, and that's one of the things I loved about the movie, was that it shows how important all of the emotions are in regulating our life day to day and helping us to cope with different situations. And I think that ultimately is the takeaway of the movie, is that embracing all of the emotions, because they do serve a purpose in our mental health and well-being, is very important. 805-781-3875. And so, Kelly, you talked about these islands. And I can't remember what they called them in the movie, but they were islands of experiences or islands of
core memories that helped to define their personality.
Thank you. Core memories that define the personality. And so for a young child, they're pretty basic. You have the family island, and that's all the memories and experiences you have with your family. And then there was the hockey island for this young girl, because hockey really identified, that was a sport she was good at, enjoyed playing, and really felt good about herself. And then she had friendship island because she had her BFF forever. And then she had a goofball island, which is kind of the way she was silly with her family.
An honesty island.
Oh, an honesty island, yes, where she, you know, believed in truth and always told the truth. And so as she moves through the movie, as she moves through the move and these changes, it's interesting to see how these core islands that kind of support her sense of identity go away, because she's in a new place and developing new skills. But what I found fascinating was how well this movie portrayed onset of depression and a mood disorder. Now, all of these experiences happened over a course of 3 days, so not enough time to become a mood disorder. But it was interesting how they showed that the family, the parents, as they moved to San Francisco, kept telling their daughter, you know, we really hope you've been a good sport about this, and it's important that you just stay positive and stay happy. And so she really tries to maintain, you know, staying happy, because she feels like her parents really need her to stay happy. But you see that as she blocks out and doesn't allow herself to feel the emotion of sadness or to feel the emotions of anger or despair, that every emotion shuts down and she starts to feel nothing at all. And everything in her emotional landscape becomes dark. And you see how we fall emotionally into these feelings of depression. And so from a therapeutic standpoint, I squirmed in my seat a bit, because I kept thinking this story would have a very different outcome if it was a medicalized version of how we approach childhood feelings of depression today. That for, you know, this is a common experience for families, and it's a common experience for children, and it's a common experience for adults, that we have these things that happen to us. We have loss, we have grief, we have trauma that happens. And it's a natural response to these feelings to be sad, to feel despair, to feel melancholia. These are normal responses. But for a lot of parents, if you moved your child and all of a sudden they kind of shut down and their jolly self, their goofball self goes away, and all of a sudden they're kind of lashing out in anger, or they're, you know, acting in disgust, just not being themselves, or quiet and shut down, that our first response, because we're afraid for the well-being of our child, would be to rush them to a doctor and say, something's broken with my child, fix her, she's not happy anymore, she needs to be happy. And so my fear is that this happens on a daily basis, because the medical profession's first response is, oh no, this child's depressed, we can medicate them and they won't feel depressed anymore. The sad thing for me is that if you saw this movie, you would see how moving through the process of addressing where these feelings came from, of allowing this young lady, this young girl, this child to express her feelings of sadness, to express her grief.
Of watching joy physically climb out of the dark depths of emotion and the dump of feelings. We had to watch her physically climb out of that darkness, which was, I thought, an interesting visual.
Yeah, that was such a powerful portrayal, that they showed this emotion fell off the cliff into darkness and had to crawl out, which is a great portrayal of what we have to do when we feel depressed, that we have to feel the feelings of sadness and let them move through us. We also have to work to find those feelings of joy again, whether it's through exercise or eating right or getting enough sleep or being with friends or crying or feeling the sadness.
Sadness was the hero.
Sadness was the hero of the film. 805-781-3875. Did you see Inside Out? Or do you grapple with your emotional life? We'd love to hear from you. Carla, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi there. What's on your mind today?
I can't hear you if something's happening.
Oh, let me put you on hold and we'll get back to you. If you can hang on for a second, Carla, we'll figure out where.
Hello.
I hear you perfectly.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. I thought it might be helpful to talk a little bit about the difference between feelings and emotions and moods, because I think those are kind of the primary experiences that we have and how they're so important to our mental health and well-being. So let's start with emotions, because that's kind of what the movie deals with. And emotions are chemicals. We experience something, right? We experience an event of some sort. And in a quarter of a second, we notice this event. And in the next quarter of a second, we release these hormones, these chemicals that go out through our body in response to whatever it is. And it's funny, it can be a love feeling that we have or a fear feeling that we have, but the chemicals that we release are the same, the fight or flight adrenaline chemicals that we have in response. And they flow through our body, and they stay there for about 6 seconds. And then the emotions, and so we can be having these every 6 seconds, different feelings, different emotional interpretations of a specific trigger. Now, feelings are how we integrate those emotions, those many emotions that we experience throughout the day or throughout our lives. And it's the feelings are how we think about the event. So if we see an object of our desire, and then our life experiences prior to this help us define how we feel about that emotion that we experienced. The feelings are how we think about the event, how we sense this event that's happened, how we sense the emotion, and how it becomes cognitively saturated into our system, how we process the emotional chemicals in our brains and our bodies. And feelings themselves are often fueled by a mixture of different emotions. They last longer than emotions. Emotions last about 6 seconds, but feelings can stay for a long time. And we take those bunches of emotions and develop feelings around them. So let's say we see someone that we like and we have a positive experience with, and we continue to feel these feelings of warmth or connection to this other person, and then we start to feel love inside of our body. We start to cognitively associate this person with those warm feelings of love. And so these emotions and feelings get connected, which finally moves to moods. And moods are more generalized experience of feelings. They're not related to one specific incident, but a collection of stimuli. So when we have many stimuli that relate to love, we can be in a loving mood. A collection of stimuli and experience and events develop our moods. But the key thing about mood, and that's why it's related so much to mental health and well-being, is that our moods are also heavily influenced by our environment, right? So it's not just our emotions and feelings that influence our mood, but our environment in huge ways, what the weather is like that day, who's in our lives, our physiology is impacted, how we've slept, if we exercised, what we have or haven't eaten that day. Food and blood sugar have a huge impact on our moods. And our thoughts have a huge impact on our moods. Where we focus our attention has a huge impact on our moods. And so I thought it'd be important to talk about how moods and feelings and emotions are related to a strong sense of our mental health and well-being. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Carla, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I was sitting a couple of weeks ago in a dark place inside of myself, and I was thinking about memory and how huge swaths of my own memory are missing, just gigantic portions of my life, really. And I attribute that to cyclic experiences of trauma, more internal trauma than anything hugely dramatic, but nevertheless trauma. And I had no idea what Inside Out was about, but it was literally in that moment where I'm like, oh, screw it, I'm going to watch a movie. Maybe Disney will help. So I watched this film. The sense of kismet was just extraordinary. And it was amazing to me watching how they took the concept of memory and brought some of the memories to the front. Some of them just sort of died from neglect. You know, how do we work with these balls of memory and recollection? And the accumulation of memory is what's going to educate our next action, oftentimes when trauma happens. And one thing that I noticed in the film, and certainly as you've been talking, is that one beautiful thing that this little girl had was tremendous support. She had loving, open, inquisitive parents. And so as a child, if you're experiencing trauma and joy and anger and sadness and all of those things are working in their natural capacity, but you have no one to witness that process with you. I think it's extremely important, really, in any therapeutic environment and any familial environment to have someone say, I see you. And I think that that helps us move through to the next thing. So what I experienced personally is, even though I have a lot of cognitive wisdom, the way that those experiences sit in my body in a somatic way, you know, where we just react, is very much like I did when I was a child, when I was being unwitnessed and unseen. So that's the key that I personally am trying to unlock.
And so what came up for you in the film? Was it emotional for you, or was it more of a cognitive?
It was so emotional. I had a tremendous sense of gratitude for Disney, of all people, you know, this, you know, indie foreign film person over here. And I'm going, oh, my God, Disney rocks. I thought it was just brilliant. It was brilliant and beautiful, and it made me wish I had a daughter, and it made me wish that my mom was still here. You know, it's like, wait, let's back up and do this again.
Yes.
So the Japanese have a word. It is aware, and it means sad beauty. And that was what I felt about the film.
Beautifully said. Carla, thank you so much for calling in. You know, it's funny. And Carla said it beautifully. Disney, you rock. I am also an indie film person and never would, you know, expect to be moved to this level by a film. But they really did a phenomenal job of capturing the emotional and mental well-being of an individual. And what you said is so true, Carla, that, you know, having the parental support, being witnessed, being held in her process was huge, because she, and let's, so more spoiler alerts of the movie Inside Out. I think one of the key things is that in order to experience the sadness, to feel the sadness, she had to be encouraged by her parents that it was safe to feel the feelings, that they weren't going to be frightened by her being sad in front of them. Because part of the reason she was holding back the feelings or stuffing the feelings is because she was reading in her experience of her parents that they needed her to just be happy.
They told her they wanted her to just be happy. Keep smiling.
Yes. And of course, I think many parents inadvertently do that because we don't want our children to feel sad or unhappy. So we might say, you know, keep a stiff upper lip, or, you know, soldier through and be happy. So her parents, she was reading that message and kind of didn't know better. So she shut those feelings down. And I think to have her parents be willing to open up their own feelings, to say, gosh, this is hard for me too. I miss our home. I miss our backyard. I miss the lake, allowed her to cry and feel the feelings. And the other part was that when she felt the sadness, a lot of our fears about emotions and feelings is that if we allow ourselves to feel the feelings, they will swallow us whole, right? That we will fall into that depth of despair, that we will go into this deep, dark place and never come out of it again. And that's not true. It's actually the opposite. It's when we hold ourselves away from feeling the feelings that we fall into that deep pit of despair that sucks all of our emotions, all of our feelings away from us, and we're left feeling numb, feeling empty. And so I love that the story just leaned on the stability of the family, the willingness to hear each other out, the willingness to let the feelings come through, instead of, you know, grabbing Riley and rushing her to her doctor and having him prescribe something to her, or rushing her to a therapist and, you know, having to work it out. I think one of the great messages for families is that, you know, we can, within our homes, provide the emotional well-being and support that's necessary to be okay. And that, especially for children, their life is so fluid and changing so constantly, that you see in this movie, it was a period of 3 or 4 days that she went through this rapid cycle of emotions and got to this place where she was able to work it out. And that was a healthy, working through of a problem. It's when we don't work through the emotions, when we stop ourselves from feeling the feelings, that things become disordered. When we talk about a mood disorder, right? When we diagnose someone with anxiety disorder or depression, that is when we have been experiencing this same level of sadness or anxiety for a long period of time, that it starts to impact our day-to-day functioning, that we can't get to work, that we can't enjoy pleasure from the things that we used to enjoy, that this disordered state. But it doesn't mean that we are sick. It doesn't mean that we are physically ill. That means that we need to look into what has been happening in our lives and see all the ways that our moods are impacted by the environment, by our physiology, by our thought process, and by our emotions and responses to things that are happening. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. I'm joined in the studio today with my daughter Kelly and our new friend Lewis, the kitten, who we adopted on Saturday. Nothing is better for mental health than a new kitten, wouldn't you say?
Keeping me calm.
I know. I said, Kelly, maybe you need to have, what do they call
it?
A stress pet, but they have another name for it. A comfort
emotional
animal.
Emotional support.
Yes, a comfort animal that you can take with you. And I mean, you're laughing a little bit, but there is great comfort in having someone to love and a little creature that you love and care for. But we're talking about the movie Inside Out and the full range of emotional experiences that they were able to capture in this animated film. And I'm wondering what you think about this. Did you see the movie, or what are you thinking about your emotional life, or how we process or look at our emotions or our moods in this culture? Greg, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I just wanted to share my experience with Inside Out.
Please.
I was able to see it with my 8-year-old son. It was the weekend that it was released. And I couldn't agree with you more. What a phenomenal, just it just hit the nail on the head in the way they portrayed the entire subject matter. It was just so, so well done. And I have to agree, too, with your earlier caller that I walked away with an overarching feeling of sadness personally, having to do with just kind of, you know, childhood issues that I lived with. And it just brought those all to the forefront for me in a really poignant and sweet way. Mm-hmm. But just a phenomenal, really a triumphant movie. I was just amazed at how well, like you said earlier, should be approved and required viewing for future therapists.
I know. I think it'd be a great primer to what the emotional field actually looks like for anyone who's going to the business. But I'm curious to know how your 8-year-old, what was his or her response to the film?
He really enjoyed it. And I had to, I kind of had to twist his arm a little bit to go see it because he really wanted to go see Jurassic World. And I said, this is, and he'd already seen Jurassic World. So I said, let's branch out a little bit here. Let's try something different. I tried to, you know, sell him on the high points, and he thought I was crazy, but okay, Dad. And once we got about 5 minutes into the movie, he just really enjoyed it. He was laughing, and he, you know, during the sad moments, yeah, I looked at him, and he, you know, I could almost see his lip quivering a little bit, you know. So it was really excellent, and we talked about it. We talked a lot about the film afterwards, and I kind of got his feedback, you know, as much feedback as you can get from an 8-year-old little boy. But he, you know, he kind of got it. I thought it was really, really impressive the way that they portrayed the, you know, the memories and the feelings. It was just so well done. It's brilliant.
Well, I love you for taking your son, Greg, because when Kelly and I saw it yesterday, there were no men in the theater that I saw anywhere.
All emotional women.
Yes. And so it's so important that men have this opportunity because our culture doesn't allow men to feel this wide range of emotions. We, you know, men get to feel anger, but we really don't let men feel sadness comfortably or disgust or fear even. And so to be able to model for your son that this full range of emotions live inside him, and that's good. They make us a whole person. So good for you.
I think it should, you know, I'll put out the challenge there to men to go see this film with or without family members, and I guarantee you, you'll be glad you did. It's phenomenal, excellent work by the Pixar people.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for taking the time to call in. So it's interesting because I keep thinking about how many people I want to take to the movie and have the conversation with them. I really would love to know what parts stand out for you, because I think they talk about that there's certain memories at some point they do go away, that, you know, if we don't focus on them or pull back on them, that they just kind of drift away. And I was thinking about how hard we try as parents to expose our children to all of these things, to build good memories for their adulthood. We want to, you know, build all of these core experiences. But as children grow and mature, and as all of us grow and mature in age, we do lose certain memories. They go away and the core memories are gone. But what we're left with is kind of the feeling or the mood, you know, that is related to that. And the other part, one of the things I thought was interesting, that they showed that even in those happy memories, you know, they were trying so hard to just maintain happy memories for the little girl. We just always don't feel happy.
They were the effect of the sad memories, the cause and effect of sad to happy, or anger to happy, or disgust to fear. They were combined memories. You had to swipe back and forth to see which one caused the other.
Right, that we don't just have one emotion that leads us down the path, that all of the memories were multifaceted emotions. The one part where the little girl's worst day ever, right? They lost the game because she didn't score a goal. She was absolutely sad. But in her sadness, her parents recognize her sadness and they come and support her and hug her, and she feels the feelings. And then that leads to one of the happiest memories she has, which is celebrating or being with her friends afterwards. And so what a great reminder that we don't just get to handpick how we remember events or how we feel about events, because all events and experiences have feelings and emotions of multiple experiences that will have some sadness and some joy all mixed in together. 805-781-3875. Wayne, I understand you liked the short before the movie.
Yeah, I really did. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, I don't know, to me it was kind of like it set up the movie, just different emotions about feeling alone for most of the volcano's life. And then, you know, when you kind of give up, then sometimes something comes up for you.
I got a little teary at the end of the little short.
It was. I liked the movie too, but I almost enjoyed it more than the movie. I just thought it was pretty clever.
And I like the play on the words lava.
Yeah, that's cute. One of my friend's sons came with us. He's been singing that around the house for a while now.
And it might be a great way, too, for, you know, especially young boys who don't, you know, at some point it's too cool to say I love you anymore. You can just start saying, I love you.
I love you. Yeah, I know. I thought it was great. I thought it was pretty silly, but really a kind of cute message behind it, as well as the film itself. I thought it was one of the sweeter ones I've seen that, you know, you leave thinking about that.
And what was your takeaway immediately afterwards?
You know, I wished it would have gone. I wanted to see a little bit more about when she gets older, mm-hmm. kind of all the emotions that go along with that. I was hoping for maybe another 45 minutes or so. But, you know, I thought it represented at least how I felt when I was younger, you know, not from a young lady's perspective, but from a gentleman's. But it was pretty spot on with just all the different emotions pulling you different ways, and, you know, which ones you follow and following your heart and, you know, things like that.
And, you know, it is, I saw when they open up at the end, again, spoiler alert to those who haven't seen it, but at the end when they have the new console, because as she's moving into preteen, all of a sudden that white, right? And I wanted to go further too, because that's when I'm sure that control room of emotions gets wild with all the different feelings that we have. But I was reading an article about the movie with the consultants, the professors that consult on the movie, and they had said, you can address a lot more emotions. And the Pixar people said, we can't write that many characters, so we'll have to see.
Maybe they'll make a part two.
Exactly. And it'll be a much longer movie, because we know that as those emotions start to develop through our teenage years, it's a crazy ride.
Yeah, it might not be suitable for Disney anymore.
That's true. Wayne, thanks for taking the time to call. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Ingrid, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, I have not seen the movie, but I always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I just wanted, you mentioned something about men not usually being able to be allowed to show emotion like sadness. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share an experience that I had that was very beautiful. I had a chance to go to Scotland with my father, where his deceased mother had grown up. And for the first time in my life, I saw him not just cry, but weep when he saw her birth certificate at the registrar. And it was an amazing thing to see, not just to see him be able to feel that, but thereafter, he just became a much softer person. He cried more often thereafter. He was much, much freer to express a range of emotions, and I just thought it was a beautiful thing to witness.
And it's beautiful that you were there to witness and hold this experience with him, because I bet it drew the two of you closer together as well.
Absolutely. It really did. And I think from then on, we had this bond that it drew us closer.
Well, I do hope you get a chance to see the film, because I think you'll appreciate how they work through the emotional process and how powerful that is, how it bonded the family at the, another spoiler alert, but how it bonded the family at the end of the film when they were able to feel the sadness and grief of the move together. It drew them together as a family in a stronger, deeper way, because I think sometimes when we try to always just focus on happy and goofing around and good feelings, we never really connect on that deep soul level.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I have come to find that sadness is a part of happiness. Mm-hmm. I've looked for confirmations of that, and I found it in some of the greatest writings of wisdom. And so to be able to embrace it and know that it serves an important purpose in helping us grow and mature, I've come to that conclusion.
Thank you, Ingrid. Thank you for taking the time to call. And I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you're just tuning in, I'm here in the studio today with my daughter, Kelly Barrett, and we're talking about the movie Inside Out, the science of emotions and moods and feelings and how they all work together. And we'd love to hear from you, 805-781-3875, if you'd like to be part of the conversation. If you did or did not see Inside Out, how does your emotional field work? How do you deal with emotions? Did you receive messages from your family that it was okay to feel the full range of emotions, sadness, happiness, frustration, joy. And it's interesting because they talk, you know, they have these five core emotions, but it's important as parents to help our children understand that within those core emotions, there are a lot of feelings that go along with it. We might say we're experiencing sadness, but there's a huge spectrum of sadness. There's melancholy, there's despair, there's hurt. There's a lot of range of feeling in sadness. So as parents, to use a wide range, wide vocabulary and a different range of emotions to describe feelings, it helps our children to understand the scale of things. If we talk about anger, there's a lot of ways we feel anger. We can just feel frustrated. We can feel angry. We can feel, I don't even know what the greatest thing, we can feel, you know, completely devastated, rageful. You know, anger has a spectrum. When it comes to joy and happiness, we can have contentment, satisfaction, and ecstasy along that range of feelings of happiness. And so to use a wide range of vocabulary with our children is also important. And to help them identify from a young age, to say, you look like you're feeling angry, that you can't, you know, go outside with your friends, or you look like you're feeling sad because you, you know, lost your favorite doll. To help them identify feelings and emotions is really important as a family.
Yeah, I worked at a preschool this year in Chicago, and it was through Jumpstart, which is an AmeriCorps organization. Mm-hmm. And in our Jumpstart trainings, a huge focus was using feelings and emotions vocabulary instead of just, you know, disciplining children and saying, you need to stop doing that or stop crying. We had to explain to them, wow, I can see that you are frustrated because of this and this, or you seem jealous. And a lot of times they didn't really necessarily know what the word meant, but I feel like it helped them to feel understood, to know that we were helping them identify what they were feeling. So then later on they can more appropriately to react to situations. So I thought that was interesting that at least in the Chicago public school system, we're being trained to help young children identify what they're feeling.
And instead of just reacting to behaviors, to try to understand what's moving the behaviors, right? What are the emotions and feelings that are causing these behaviors to come out? And so as parents, that's an important thing, that we'll see our children doing something and we're either frightened by how they're behaving, we just want it to stop, so we'll say, stop doing that. But if we took 30 seconds or a minute to back up and say, you know, I noticed that you were hitting your sister, and that's not okay to hit someone, but I'm wondering, you know, what caused you to want to hit your sister? And so once you break up the action, to kind of find out the feelings and emotions that are driving it. Because I think the goal and the key and the message of this movie Inside Out was about having the confidence in ourselves and for our children that all of our emotions are okay. And that the more we experience our wide range of emotions, the more fully we experience our lives and the richer and deeper our lives can be. 805-781-3875 is our number. Noah, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to comment. I saw the movie with my son and daughter. My son is 8, my daughter's 10. And I thought it was, you know, so fascinating that movie was done as an animation, because the only way to really bring out all the complexities that our emotions, you know, experiences, emotional beings, came through in that animated feature. And I just commend the guys and the women that were able to do it, because they did a phenomenal job. And my kids were just, they were captivated.
And what came up for them? Sorry.
Go ahead, after you.
Well, what came up for your children? What did, because I'm dying to know what they pulled out as the message of the movie.
Well, and I asked them, you know, I said, well, what's the most important thing that movie taught you or you thought about? And they said, well, we thought that, and sort of collectively they said it together, mm-hmm. you know, that we should be able to show our happiness and our sadness and our frustration instead of keeping it inside. Because so many times my kids, I can see it in their faces, they keep all that stuff inside. Mm-hmm. And we should be in a civilization that instead of shouldn't, we should allow ourselves to experience all of that stuff and let our kids, just let them go through those emotions, because that's the enriching part of life.
And I do think, too, that modeling as parents, right? How, I mean, not that we're going to wail and break down in front of our children to the point of them needing to care for us, but to see us tear up when something's sad, right? Or to feel frustrated and then work through the frustration. And I think that's how we help our children learn their own range.
Oh, yeah. My son said to me, he said, Daddy, you were crying in that movie, weren't you? I said, yeah, I was. I said, I didn't know that you saw me. He says, oh, yeah, I saw you wipe the tears from your face. And like, yeah, and I said, it's okay to cry, Jonah, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
And
you should.
And did you feel it was safe to cry growing up? Do you feel as a man in our culture that you were told feel all those feelings?
Actually, in my household, it was, believe it or not, it was okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't put down. You know, I had a tough, he's 9 years old and he's tough as nails. I've never seen my dad cry. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I've seen him cry at an opera. Mm. But my mom cries at the drop of a hat. She's just a very emotional being. But yeah, we've got to encourage our kids to have a safe place to let it out.
Absolutely. And to know that you can let it out and it will recede, and that makes room for joy. And I think that's the other part of the message. It's so important that we feel these feelings to make room for the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's right. Thank you.
Carol, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Yes, my name is Carol. I just got legal custody of four of my grandsons. And I'd like to know if the movie, my oldest is 8. They come from an abusive family. And I'd like to know if the movie would be appropriate for him.
So are they 8 and then younger, or?
2, 4, 6, 8.
Okay. So for the 8-year-old, I would imagine yes. And especially as an opportunity to have a conversation with you afterwards, because... And I'm glad you called, because this is something I was going to talk about, is that we need as parents to have these teachable moments. And Noah, the caller before you, talked about, you know, having the conversation after the movie with his children. And I encourage all parents or grandparents to utilize teachable moments whenever possible. And this movie is absolutely a teachable moment to maybe, you know, allow your grandchild to express what's been going on in his life, to understand that there are changes and that after the changes, new good things can happen. So I think if you go into the movie ready to have a conversation afterwards and to just make the space and let him process whatever comes up, it's absolutely appropriate.
Oh, perfect. Perfect, perfect. And we're having a little bit of a transitional time here, you know. I brought them from Colorado back here, so.
And it is a huge transitional time. You know, there's going to be feelings of grief and loss and confusion, maybe some disorientation, and it'll be expressed, you know, quite often through anger or complacency, or sometimes I'm concerned if a child is too ready to please, you know, like they're too compliant and like, oh, I would be great, because that tells me that the child's fearful that they're going to lose this house also. So it's important to keep reassuring that this is a safe place, that they are, you know, this is their home. So if you see any kind of wide ranging from too much compliance to too much anger to too complacent, you know that those are times you want to step in and talk about what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. It's amazing. We talked about comfort animals with my daughter, that having a stuffed animal or a friend, that transitional object is really important for them also.
Yes, I've got all that going.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And also time. You know, time is really key in all of this. And I think we don't give ourselves enough time to process. They could be grieving for quite a while, the change, and come in and out of it. And it might even be delayed. You might see 6 months from now, when they start to really understand that they're not going back, you might see a renewal of sadness or frustration or anger.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. I was just going to say, well, I wonder if you could take my number and call me back sometime.
I will put you on hold, and I'll have Ashlyn take your information. Absolutely. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. I'm joined in the studio today by my daughter, Kelly, and we are talking about the movie Inside Out and the emotional and feelings and moods that we experience, all human beings, as we go through the process of life, and how much I want to assign to you and everyone I know to go see this movie, to go see it with your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your friends, and have conversations about this. It's important to have these conversations to help experience the wide range of emotions and to embrace all of these emotions and to understand that they may feel dark and scary, that you might fear going into a place of sadness because that depth of despair is going to be too great and there's too many dark memories or dark places. But it's important to go in there and find our way out, to allow ourselves to experience things, but to know that there is a balance of the despair with opportunities for joy. And I also think there was a great message of grief in this movie, the grief of losing our life that we once had. And when we don't allow ourselves to process grief, we start to feel those symptoms of grief somatically, as one of our earlier callers talked about. We start to feel them physically in our body. When we don't experience or allow grief or emotions to move through our system, we're blocking those chemicals that we release when we have an experience, the hormones and the chemicals that flow through our body, the adrenaline that flows through. It has to be released from our system, or it gets kind of stuck, and we can get headaches, stomach aches. We can feel anxiety. You know, anxiety is a lot of released hormones that aren't being expelled out of our body. And so to exercise, to eat well, to get enough sleep, and to talk to others about how we're feeling, or to make a date with grief, to look inside and take some time to journal or ask ourselves, what is the sadness I'm feeling? What are these memories attached to? What are some things that have happened in my life that I just brushed off, or I just was not able to cope with, or was seemed too overwhelming? These experiences in our lives all need a voice. They all need to be noticed and recognized and witnessed. And we either tell someone else about them and let the emotions that are attached to those experiences out, or we write about it, or we do a lot of running. Remember when Forrest Gump, in the movie Forrest Gump, after his beloved Jenny dies, he goes running, and he just runs and runs and runs and runs and runs and runs and runs. I always thought that was a beautiful story or expression of grief, that we just have to keep moving to allow the emotions, the mood, to flow through us. And I just want to say, from the therapeutic standpoint, that this is such a great lesson on how our mental health works, that we can heal our despair. We can heal our feelings of sadness, that it's not a medical emergency when we feel depressed. You know, yes, it can become a disordered experience that prevents us from being able to function. But the day in and day out sadness and grief and loss that we experience is a normal part of life. It starts to become a problem when we shut it down and don't let it out. And think about our moods. When we notice that you're feeling anxious or depressed, look at your habits. Are you spending too much time on the screens, right? Losing yourself through binge watching or, watching Facebook. 4 hours a week on the computer raises our level of depression and anxiety. Just 4 hours a week on the computer. Look at how you're eating. I keep seeing this poster that says, I apologize for what I said when I was hungry. Our blood sugar level has a lot to do with our moods and emotions. And so I often wonder if our diet crazy society has not increased our level of mood disorders. Because if you're starving, your blood sugar is out of whack. And so your moods are out of whack. And if we're dieting and denying ourselves a healthy balance of foods, our moods and emotions and feelings are going to cause us disorders.
Often, Mom, I will be telling you about a conversation that I'm having with my boyfriend that's stressful and frustrating, and you'll just chime in and say, well, what time of night is it, and how much sleep have you gotten? And then most of the time you'll say, okay, well, just go to bed. You're done now. You can't be having a conversation like this now when you're tired, because it's not a reasonable conversation. It's kind of ridiculous. It's not normal. Go to sleep, and in the morning it'll be normal. And that's always right.
Wow, I just love that. I'm going to end the show on that. My mother's day is made. But it's true. We don't want to have conversations of great import when we're tired, when we're exhausted, because our emotions are frayed, our moods are frayed. And so instead of expecting that every time we feel off or a little out of whack or feeling sad, that we're somehow sick, to look deeper into this and look at what's happened in our life. Have you had loss? Have you had medical problems? Have you had changes of life and transitions? All of these things will cause deep senses of physical discomfort, emotional discomfort. And so take the time to explore them and go see Inside Out. Dad, go see Inside Out. This movie is important because it will help you unlock some of those things that we block when we have gone so many years of not allowing ourselves to feel the feelings. And this has been A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Next week, I'll be in the studio with a guest talking about divorce and working our way from the brink of despair back to thriving once again. This theme of mental health and well-being and how we can survive even the greatest of emotional despairs and trauma. And you can participate in this program on our website, through Facebook, The Reluctant Therapist, email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. We tweet at EBTRT, and you can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. I leave you today with a song by Phil Collins that I absolutely adore and expresses our movie quite well, Inside Out. Thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBX.